This morning's lesson comes from, well, it's another one of those acrostics. It comes from one I got, actually, I think a couple of years ago, on prayer. And the thoughts that were there were good and valid, but instead of going and finding a whole long series of verses to go for each one of these points, I decided that I wanted to take and look at some Psalms. Now, as we look at these Psalms, I read from these Psalms, you may think, well, I don't know whether that fits with that or not, and that's fine, because what this is to do is to prompt you to consider the Psalms a little more. Certainly, we're going to be talking about prayer this morning and some things that we recognize prayer is associated with and things that are important for us to keep in mind. And the Psalms that I've chosen to read from at each of these points are Psalms that do deal with this, at least in some capacity. But the encouragement I want to give you is to go and consider other Psalms, because the Psalms, in many instances, can be referenced as prayers to God. They are prayers or songs. They are offerings up to God. And so there are any number of Psalms that would fit with these particular ideas about prayer. So we want to consider that this morning, prayer and Psalms. And maybe in doing so, it will give you some encouragement or some guidance or help to include Psalms a little more in your prayers to God or in your meditations, in your service, your study, or whatever it may be. And that if we've done that, then we fulfilled my purpose in this lesson to get a little more focus on the Psalms. Sometimes we lay those aside and think, well, they're only for certain particular occasions, but they're useful to us in all aspects of life. And when we look at the word prayer, of course, it starts with a P, and I think one of the first things we need to keep in mind in regards to prayer is that it is praise. It is praise to God. If you would get your Bibles and turn to Psalm 112, all of our text will be from a psalm this morning. So you can go ahead and turn over to Psalm 112 and know that you're going to be close to where we're going to be as we go through reading these. God is worthy of our praise at all times, under all circumstances, everything that goes on in our life. We need to be acknowledging God's power and work in it and offering praise to Him for what He has done for us. And that's one of the things we find over and over again in the Psalms. Here in Psalm 112, it begins with, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. The righteousness, his righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish." The main reason I chose this psalm to look at here is because of the first part of that psalm. The psalmist not only says, "Praise the Lord," but then he tells us why we ought to praise the Lord. Because for those who belong to God, everything goes right. And somebody says, "Oh, wait a minute. You haven't looked at my life lately." Well, yes, have the same problems in my own life. Yes, we know there are troubles. But in the grand scheme of things, the one who belongs to God, everything is leading up to eternity with God. And for that, we ought to praise the Lord. We're told in Scripture we ought to praise the Lord and thank the Lord when we have to suffer through trials. Why? Because that increases our faith. It builds us up and strengthens us for things that we may have to deal with in the future. praise the Lord. Prayer should always be associated with praise to God. When Jesus gave example to his apostles, he said, start out with, hallowed be your name. Praise the Lord. That should be a very important part, primary part of our prayer life. We move forward, we have repentance associated with prayer. In fact, no matter what the purpose for your prayer, I'm convinced that repentance of some sort or another needs to be a part of your prayer. And there again, some may think, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. Sometimes I just go to God for the purpose of thanking Him. But even when you go to Him for the purpose of thanking Him, aren't you coming to Him in a humble, subjective attitude, in a recognition that you yourself are weak and fail from time to time, and it is because of what you have through Him that you're able to have these blessings that you're coming to thank Him for? Aren't we in all instances, when we approach God, to approach Him with an attitude of, I'm sorry, I'm not any better than I am, maybe? To some extent at least, recognizing our weaknesses. Look at Psalm 34. This is a little longer reading. But in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. I'm convinced that we cannot consider the idea of taking refuge in God or crying out to God for help without considering the idea that we need to turn away from ourselves and give our entire focus to Him. Turn away from evil and seek after God. Flee Satan and draw near to God is the idea James presents in his letter. When we approach prayer from this standpoint of not only praise to God, but also our own weakness and frailties, and we come to Him seeking forgiveness for what we've done, it impresses upon us even more our need to forgive others. And I think sometimes that's an important thing that we need to keep in mind, that we have let slip from time to time, and we need to be reminded of that. So if we always approach prayer with the standpoint of I'm coming to God expressing my frailties and my entire dependence upon Him. And isn't that a part of what repentance is? Realizing that I can't do it and I need Him to help me with it. our lives are going to be that much better. That's much more blessed and righteous in His sight. Ask, seeking to fulfill our needs, requesting of God. We use ask because it fits the A in prayer. But requesting of God. When Jesus gave the sample prayer to the apostles, He said, give us this day our daily bread, our daily sustenance. I think sometimes we read that literally and we miss a part of the figurative action that might be behind that. It's not just our food, but it's the very substance of our life, the very satisfaction that we may enjoy in our day. God, be with me so that all things in my day go well. We need to go to God and ask. Now, we know that God is more than ready to assist us and help us. We know that God knows what our needs are. Probably before we even, well, no probably to it. Before we even know, He knows what our needs are. But we need to ask. We need to go to God and say, Lord, here's what I need in my life right now. Will you help me with that? Here's something I'm struggling with. I need assistance in this. We need to go and talk to God about our needs. We need to ask. That's a central part of prayer. As we go to God and seek His help and His guidance and His strength as we go through life. In Psalm 21. Psalm 21. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You have set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you. You gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed, for you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. The psalmist asked, and God delivered. When we ask God for the things that we need, it lets him know that we understand our dependence upon him. And it lets him know that we recognize they are from him, that they're not just something that automatically happens to us because we're going through life. But we're acknowledging that, God, you give me these blessings, so please continue to bestow them on me. We need to ask God for everything. Not just our daily food, not just good health, not just for security and shelter, but for peace, for freedom, for comfort, for strength, for encouragement. All things ultimately come from God. Now, they may come through our brethren, or through our neighbors, or even through our government in some cases, but they are ultimately from God, and we ought to ask. That ought to be an intimate part of our discussion with God, because it ought to get down to the very deep needs in our soul. And the more we ask for the common things, and acknowledge our dependence upon Him for them, the more likely we're going to be to ask Him for the internal, the intimate needs that we may have in our life. The strength and the courage in face of sorrow and death. The able to get up and go again in the face of loss of whatever kind it may be. We need to ask. Our prayers are made up of asking. But let's understand, our prayers are also associated with yielding. giving in. We don't like that idea. In general, we tend to stray away from the idea of giving in, of letting go control. But we need to understand that when we go to God in prayer, it's not going to God and saying, God, please make your will mine. It's going to God and saying, God, please help me understand your will and to do it in my life. Even when we pray, seeking that someone who is sick might be healed, we're not seeking to enforce our will upon God. We're seeking God's assistance in helping us accept, that's the word I was trying to get out, accept whatever happens. That's why when we pray, if it be your will. Psalm 81 is the psalm that we want to consider now. As we read through this, take note of the phrases that indicate the idea of submission, of yielding to God. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre, and the harp with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel, a rule of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called and I delivered you. I entered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me. There shall be no strange God among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign God. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. I have to admit, when I read that psalm, I think about Judges. Of course, that's because we've been studying that on Sunday night, and it's been on my mind. But some of the things that are said there fit very well with what we've been seeing in the book of Judges. God says in this psalm, the psalmist says in this psalm, through inspiration I'm convinced, that if we will submit to God, we will have blessings. But if we do not yield, we cannot expect to receive anything from God. That's why yielding is such an important part of our prayer to God. When we go to God, we need to go with an attitude of humility and accepting His will, not ours. We don't go to God for ourselves, other than to help ourselves get closer to Him and His desires. If we will but do His word, yield to His message, give in to what He's asked us to do, then we can receive blessings. That's why when we pray as Jesus did, not my will, but thine be done. We need to yield in our prayer. The original outline that I got stopped here. But I had a couple other things I wanted to say that I think are just as important in regard to prayer. And so, the next thing, if I hit the right button, it'll go where I want. Earnest. I think an important part of our prayer is our earnestness or our diligence in prayer. There should be a commitment in our heart regarding our request. We need to go to God with an earnest desire to see those things come to be. We need to be diligent in reaching out to Him for guidance and for help. Turn with me to Psalm 64. Psalm 64. And I hope as I read this, you will note the earnestness that seems to be in the attitude of the psalmist. Psalm 64. Hear my voice, O God, and my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide from me the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers, who whet or hone their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search, for the inward mind and heart of a man are deep. But God shoots his arrows at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin with their own tongues turned against them. All who see them will wag their heads. Then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart exult. Well, I know there's not really much in that psalm that says, God, I earnestly plead for this. But as I read that psalm and think of the mindset of the psalmist, as probably David being the one that wrote this psalm, as he approaches God and all the things that he says about dealing with his enemies and the kind of enemies up against, I see in his words an earnestness in his plea to God, a searching to get help and assistance. And then I look at the Psalms overall and I find it over and over and over and over again. This kind of an idea of earnestness, of desire, of wanting to come to God to get these things done. A diligence in approaching God. And I see we need to have the same idea and attitude toward our prayers. We need to be earnest when we come to God. Honest with the feelings of our heart, yes. But with strong desire. We need to truly want the things. I think that's what James and others tell us when they tell us we need to come to God in faith. Knowing that if we come to God with faith, He will answer our pleas and our cries to Him. And this leads us into the last point we want to consider in regard to prayer, and that is repeat. Repeat. Repeat, repeat, be continual in our prayer to God. Pray without ceasing, Paul told us. We will never know a time when prayer is not a useful tool in our life. Never. You will never wake up one day and that day will be a day that you have no need to pray to God. I can guarantee you that. I don't care how long you live, how well you live, how righteous you are, you will never find a time in your life when it's not a good idea or when you don't have a need to go to God in prayer. Prayer needs to be a constant in our lives. It needs to be not just repetitive. It's not just we keep saying the same things over and over. Remember, all of these other things are a part of our prayer, but it needs to be repeated. Look at Psalm 142. Psalm 142. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord.
I say you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low.
Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Folks, that kind of an attitude, I cry to the Lord, I pray to the Lord, I plead with the Lord, I tell the Lord my troubles, is evident in almost every single one of the 170-something Psalms we have. Not to mention all the times throughout the pages of Scripture that we see Jesus going to God in prayer again and again. Three times in the garden. And then again during the crucifixion. We see Paul going continually in prayer. All of the leaders of God's people talk to him on a regular basis. And I think as we go and we analyze and we consider what they have to say, we will recognize that every single one of these elements were a part of their prayer when they were earnestly seeking God to guide them and direct them and to help them in their situation. Prayer is such an important part of our life. We need to understand some of the things that are associated with it. Praise, repentance, request, or asking, yielding to His will, the earnestness and the repentativeness, the continual going to God in prayer. Those need to be an active part of our life. Recognize this is not a lesson to necessarily tell us what we need to do in order to get through this particular... Well, yeah, it is. Prayer is what we need to do in order to get through this particular difficult time in life. It's not telling us how to get rid of sin. Oh, wait, yes, it is. Prayer helps us get rid of sin in our life. This is not a way it is. It is a lesson that helps us with our worship. It helps us with our marriage. It helps us in school. It helps us at work. It helps us every single day when we apply these principles and teachings. Prayer. As I stated at the first of the lesson, I hope that if nothing else happens, this encourages you to go look at the Psalms with an attitude of seeing how many of them or how well they might be used in your own praying to God or in your own meditation. Drawing closer to the Lord. If we've done that, we've been successful with our purpose this morning. But as always, there is a possibility that one of us may have strayed. We've given our lives to the Lord. Each one of us has confessed our belief in Jesus. At some point in our life, have we acted upon that confession completely? Have we been buried in baptism and have our sins washed away? And the next question is, am I still living faithful to that commitment? Well, I need to come back to God and say, Lord, I did not do right. Lord, I missed something. Lord, I was wrong. Lord, I stumbled. Help me to overcome. Help me to get past this. God, I am so sorry for what I have done. My heart is filled with sorrow. Lord, please forgive me. Help me to do right. Help me to correct my way so that I don't fail anymore. Help me to see your word so that I stay on the straight and narrow path. There's something in your life that weakens this to being right. Opportunities you